This is CyberSound, your simplified and fundamentals-focused source for all things cybersecurity.
Welcome to CyberSound. I'm your host, Jason Pufall, joined by Michael Grandy.
Great to be here.
And you found our special guest today. So we have Chris Taft from Fanatics, Chief Accounting Officer. It's nice to meet you. It's nice to have you here. Thanks for joining, Chris.
No, pleasure's all mine, guys. Really appreciate the time.
So I've known Chris for a very long time. I've had the pleasure of not only knowing him sort of through school and college and well beyond, but he's had a very interesting career in the public accounting space and now in private organizations, and he brings a really great flavor, I think, to something that we talk a lot about, and it's about perspective, right, and the different perspectives that different companies have and different individuals have when it comes to cybersecurity. So, Chris, if you want to start us off, maybe talk about your background a little bit, some of your experiences, and maybe the intersections with cyber and technology services and concerns along the way.
Yeah, sure. No, great. Appreciate the time again, and great to be here. Typical accounting background, accounting degree out of college. Been doing it for over 20 years now. Started in audit, like most CPAs do, with a big firm, PricewaterhouseCoopers. Then I worked at GE when their global headquarters was in Connecticut. Was there just shy of a decade, predominantly controllership, financial reporting roles. Left GE, went to a company called Nielsen Holdings PLC. I'm sure people have heard of Nielsen TV ratings. Was in accounting, some FP&A there. And I think that's where I really got into the intersection with IT and info security when I was the chief accounting officer at Nielsen. We had, an InfoSec committee, so to speak. And that was when things were really starting to get heated around in the space and more board involvement. And so as the chief accounting officer and controller, focusing on internal controls, got a lot involved in it a lot. And being such a big company as Nielsen is obviously an important part of risk management. And then now I'm at Fanatics, which is a private company. So I've switched from being mostly involved in public SEC registrants to private companies. And look, I think from a perspective, I mean, we try to hold ourselves, we want to be a great company, right? Not just what do private companies do or public companies do, like what do great companies do? And particularly around info security, giving the importance, what our crown jewels are in terms of our business, whatever your business is, and making sure that you're always focused on it. You see it in the news every day. There are breaches. People are trying to get in. There's a lot of bad actors. And I think having, the intersections across the business, so it's not just IT led. You've got finance involvement. You've got legal involvement. You've got more operational involvement from the business. I think bringing that all together is certainly the best approach, no matter if you're public or private, but particularly for public companies.
Gotcha. So if you don't mind, spend a minute or two on what Fanatics does, because I think we're entering a season where it's probably really, really relevant for you. I guess sports always is, right? But
yeah, sure. So Fanatics, we're building a digital sports platform for the fan, right? So the fan's going to be able to buy, collect, and bet. So when I say buy, it's particularly at our fanatics.com website, merchandise, apparel, your favorite team, UConn. I know you're a big UConn fan. Sorry about the loss the other night. Providence, we're Providence alum, so we can go on and buy Providence gear.
Yeah, let's hope you get the tournament at all, I guess. Right?
Good point.
All right, settle down. Come on, March 8th. I think we should talk about that one.
We're bringing out the guns today.
That's right. I love it. I love it. So that's buy, collect. So trading cards. We acquired Topps at the end of 2021. So we're kind of expanding outside of just, sports trading cards, but other cultural relevant trading cards. So trading cards, when I say collect, and we also have memorabilia, autographs, signed pictures, signed jerseys and the like. And then bet, we just launched in the beginning of 2023, Fanatics Sportsbook. So we have retail locations. There's some in Connecticut. And then there's also, a great app, the Fanatics Sportsbook app. So buy, bet, collect is what we call it. It's all about the sports fan and really trying to bring that one ecosystem to the fan every day is what we're focused on.
So certainly sports, there's big events all the time, right? We just came out of the Super Bowl. We'll be posting this podcast, I think, the week that March Madness starts, right? I always talk about sort of the seasonality of fishing. We always see an uptick, tax season, Christmas, right? There's all these events that typically result in more fishing. I'm expecting there to be an uptick during something like a Super Bowl or something like a NCAA tournament. Give me a little sense of maybe how you might be planning for that. I think we'd probably worth talking a little bit about types of fishing scams we might see.
But. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think it's no matter where you work, right? These are events that are, you know, sort of national events, right? The Super Bowl being a big one. The Monday after the Super Bowl is always a day where people kind of, you know, don't show up to work the next day. They work remote and
should be a holiday.
You know, you got to worry about it should be a holiday. Yeah. I agree. You know, but you got people working remotely, and if they're not smart enough to VPN in, you could have some issues there where there's more vulnerabilities. And then March Madness, everyone's, you know, doing bracketology and all those things. And I think, you know, it's just another area where we really just got to focus on the employee, right? I read somewhere it's like 75% of breaches are through employees' email.
Sure.
And we get spam and phishing, you know, every day, some of us. And I think making sure we're training, you know, our people to be ready for it and to be vigilant and to look out for things that just don't look right. There's obviously, you know, software and technology that you guys are more experts at than me in terms of how to block it before it gets the employee. But look, things get through, and making sure that, you know, have an employee that makes that mistake and clicks on something that, you know, thinks nothing of it, doesn't tell anybody.
Right.
And then 6 months later, a bad actor is in and, you know, you find out the hard way. So I think, you know, it's a good opportunity to really reinforce the education around watching out for those things, because to your point, it's certainly a high volume time.
And I'm sure a lot of social engineering and people sort of captive. I don't remember the stat, but during those first several days of March Madness, the amount of sort of bandwidth consumed by just streaming games and watching games and looking for score updates, you know, productivity levels pretty much tank.
Right.
So, you know, as you said, sort of bad actors have a open playground, right, to go after and sort of dupe unsuspecting folks, you know, in a lot of negative ways.
Yeah, I mean, it's a captive audience, and everybody's excited, so it's easy. Everybody's excited, and there's a lot of data out there, right? So it's trivial for a hacker to say, listen, I'm going to send, you know, Michael an email that makes it look like he has an opportunity to buy PC gear,
right?
Because his eyes are on PC, right?
Sure.
And these things work, and they're just trying to get you to click. They're just trying to get you to, you know, typically provide credentials, but there's other scams out there. These events, I mean, they're ripe for phishing.
Yeah.
So, Chris, when we were talking earlier, it sounds like, you know, Fanatics has a pretty rigorous sort of internal training program to help, you know, prevent things internally. I'm curious if you want to touch on that for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the last three companies I've worked at, we've had, you know, the training and the, you know, the sort of repeat training, because that's the key is, right? It can't just be a once a year exercise. Yeah. And I think what I've seen more in the space, you know, not just at Fanatics, but just talking with some peers, is just the sophistication of these emails, right? And just to your point, using social engineering to identify that I'm a PC alum because they looked at my LinkedIn. Right. So it can make it look like it comes from providence.edu. And if I'm not paying attention, it says like EDQ as an example, right? Like,
right. Yeah.
Those are things that like the sophistication is really high. And I'll give an example. Like one of the ones, you know, I saw in the past was, it was budget season, right? So the end of the year. Which
favorite time of the year.
Favorite time of the year. I know Mike probably hounds you, right, Jason? So basically what it was, you know, your direct manager, an email came directly from them. It looked like their email. There was a link to an Excel file that said like your name. So it would have said like TAF budget. And in the email box, it says, hey, could you please review? I think this is what we discussed. And looked pretty sophisticated, right? The only reason I knew at the time not that it was a scam is because my boss never sent me links to anything. He would send me the Excel file directly.
There's the whole file.
So I knew he didn't actually know how to do that. But that's it. I think we had a huge failure rate that year for that particular quarter for that test. So I think not just doing the simple ones that are obvious, but like trying to make it sophisticated, just like the bad actors are getting more sophisticated. Right. It's just the level, you know, the level field is getting higher and higher.
Yeah, I mean, one of the discussions we've had now is certainly there's a lot of money in these activities. They're hiring native English speakers to craft emails, and it's even easier now with AI, right? Yeah. They can, you can literally just say, write me a phishing email, include this type of link, and you're off and running.
Yeah. Would you say, you know, the beautiful part about sports, and I think this is probably the slowest time of the year from a sports perspective. You got some of the major sports still going on, but a little bit of a lull post Super Bowl. But you know, is do you see just activity spikes during seasons? You know, certain seasons, March Madness, Super Bowl, playoffs in different sports and things, or is it pretty consistent high level and your guards are always up?
Look, I'd say the guards are always up, but yeah, there's certainly seasonality to it. I mean, if you think about you know, in our merchandising business in particular, like, you know, we call it peak season, right?
Sure.
So Black Friday through, you know, right. Christmas Eve is the biggest shopping, you know, time volume wise for all retailers, sure. right?
Yeah,
in e-commerce sites. So that volume being so high every day definitely raises the bar, because it may mean that something doesn't get caught that should have, right? And
yeah.
so I think always having that level of that lens on things is so important. So like, it sort of defang that time. If you're always focused on it,
right.
you defang it from that peak time, so that, again, people are just always ready and vigilant. But by far, that is the busiest time of the year for us.
You know, what are the other areas that I think would be important maybe to touch on? You've got some good experience in this. Is, you know, we meet our sort of primary client size is that sort of mid-market type company. You know, we're dealing with boards on a somewhat regular basis, but not all the time. Maybe the sophistication of the delivery of information now that you see to board level, and sort of what the onus is now from a board perspective, might be helpful to share.
Yeah, sure. And look, I think the stakes got raised even higher recently. The Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, just a new rule that they launched that began December 15th. Where public companies, if they have a breach and it's determined to be a material breach, have 4 business days to file what they call an 8K, a current report with the SEC, which is a public document that anybody can go on and see. And so having that means you have to have process, and you have to have governance, and you have to have the ability to get the information and to process it really quickly. And so, you know, for the past, I'd say, you know, decade or so in my roles at public companies and in dealing with boards and audit committees, we've just in like the communication and the level of information to the board and the audit committee just keeps rising.
Yeah.
And so it would go from like a once a year sort of cyber infosec review to monthly
right.
letters from the CISO. Like, here's where we are on this. Here's what's happening. Here's what's going on in the industry, because that's where we're at. And it's only going to continue to get elevated with this new rule. Because in addition to filing that report, if you have a breach, you have to annually file, you know, disclosures around what's your risk management, what's your strategy, what's the board oversight, what expertise does the board have around cyber. So it's just raising the stakes in terms of ensuring that you've got that capability. You've got legal involved, there's going to be external counsel involved. And I think for me, the hardest part about this one is it's A, determining materiality, because if it's not a straight dollar amount that you know, there's a lot of qualitative stuff that you've got to factor under it. Like, is it IP? Is there brand reputation? Am I going to get sued? Like, in 4 days, you got to try to figure all that
right.
out, right, to some extent. And then when you're disclosing these breaches and you're disclosing these practices, you know, the policies that you have, like, you don't want to give a roadmap to a bad actor of like, oh, right. they're vulnerable here, so let's go there. So there's a little bit of give and take there with, you got to comply with the rule, right? Because you don't want a letter from the SEC.
Right.
But you also want to be like open kimono with every bad actor of like, hey, come get me over here because I'm exposed. So I think that's going to be interesting. I've been starting to read some of them as they come out just to kind of get ahead of it and understand how far people are going. But I think that's going to be one there'll be a lot of debate about as these are filed and people are reading them and there's subsequent events after that.
So it's interesting, though. So you're saying there's an annual requirement to provide essentially the state of your security program regardless of whether you've had an incident or a breach.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah,
what are you
strong.
Guys doing about it?
Right.
Exactly. And so I think that's the give and take of you want to comply, but
right.
you don't want to give too much.
Do they, out of curiosity, is there a specific format that they require the information in? Is that up to, you know, essentially you as the submitter?
Yeah, I mean, it's up to the preparer. I think, look, a fair amount of it will be boilerplate. Like, typically what happens with these is like the first company to file it, everybody looks at it.
Right,
do,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And you work with outside counsel to make sure that you're, again, you're complying, but you're not, you don't want to give too much in an area that's sensitive. You know, it's tough, but I think, look, they're not tech. I mean, it depends on when the year end of the company is for a calendar. They won't be filed until, you know, a year from now.
Sure.
But it's going to be interesting to see like how far folks go, and it'd be more interesting to follow when there are breaches, like, What does that disclosure look like? And then
right.
are there follow-ons if what they initially thought got worse, right? That's the other thing, too, is you file the initial one, but you don't know everything in 4 days. And
right.
all of a sudden, it's a bigger issue. You got to file an amended AK, and, you know, things can get really bad.
So, and sort of as we wind down here, I've got a question, and it's not necessarily just about your experience today. Maybe it's looking back over the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years that you've been, you know, in the marketplace. Obviously, the growth in spending of organizations from a defense perspective against cyber threats and internal technologies. And just if you could spend a minute maybe just talking us through, without specifics, that what I would assume is meteoric growth for budget considerations when it comes to those areas.
Yeah, look, I'll say in the past 15 years, right, it's obviously getting more and more, but not only is it getting more and more investment in it, but it's at the board level. Right. These conversations are at the board level of like, hey, we need to spend this much money. We're coming to you, you know, for approval because it's more than we would typically want to spend. And like, here's why we think we should do it. It's always a balancing act. Right. But I think it's so important. It's like, you know, they say like insurance, right? You spend a lot of money on insurance for a reason. Like this could be even worse if you have an attack, particularly if you've got like crown jewels that you got to protect. Like, I mean, this is stuff that, you know, there's math behind it for the finance people to figure out whether or not it's worth it. But I think regardless, you're going to see the level of spend continue, particularly now with like AI and what does that bring? I mean, I think it's an area that's really, it's exciting, right?
Yeah.
Like everybody wants, is excited about it. But again, as I sit back as like the, you know, the controls person in the background, it's like, okay, let's slow down a little bit on this to make sure that we can understand all the impacts before we go too far.
Another layer of risk management. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. And look, I'd say just one last thing on sort of like board involvement and involvement with senior leaders of the company. I think the best exercise, and I've done three of these now, is like, you know, sort of a mock breach.
Yeah, right? A tabletop
exercise. Yeah. Exactly. Like you get everybody in the room, you block your calendars for 3 or 4 hours. And you, I mean, you make it, there's companies that obviously do this for you, but like you make it as real as possible. Right. And I mean, you really find out like, okay, we got to get better here. We got to get better here. This worked well, but that's really where you get to see it. And we did it all the way up to the board level of one of the companies I worked at. And it was really interesting to see, you know, how it worked and what we really need to focus on to get better.
Yeah. So we definitely do a fair amount of tabletops with clients. Yeah. And some of them will actually include a counsel to, you know, sort of encapsulate these in privilege. The effective ones absolutely are executive level participation, right? I mean, there's some companies that want to have only IT do it. I'd say any tabletop is better than no tabletop, but the more senior the people you can get involved, the better your outcome is going to be. And frankly, without doing those, hitting those 4-day time requirements is basically impossible. You need to have some practice, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I talked to a company that I'd used in a prior company that that does these, and I had a conversation with the you know, one of the reps, and he said, yeah, they've now incorporated the 4-day timeline and how to think through that and what's required. And so it's definitely raising the bar for sure.
Yeah, it's great. And it's great, I think, that the boards are paying attention. That's I've done my share of board presentations. You know, 10 years ago, there'd be a lot of time on cell phones and people ignoring it. And then as the years went by, there's a lot more attention spent, which I think is finally appropriate.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, I mean, I think, you know, kind of ending on that SEC part is probably appropriate. You know, we sort of talked a little bit about, you know, seasonality, broke it down into what some of the risks are. And then ultimately, if something happens, you know, you've got to report. So I appreciate you coming in, sharing some of the perspective for what you do at Fanatics, talking a little bit about the SEC rule, because we actually haven't done that too much.
Yeah, that's new.
I wish both of you luck in the tournament.
Go PC, right? Obviously.
Yeah, should we like, you know, let's make our calls now because this is coming out before March Madness. I mean, like, let's see. We go back in time.
From our perspective, I don't know there's going to be a doubt about UConn getting a one seed.
I don't know. I mean, they did get killed in the last
game. I just hope we make the field of 68 now.
You will. Yeah, I mean, so. I think you will. Yeah.
It's all about the Big East tournament, Mike.
Big East tournament.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, all the stats are what UConn hasn't won it in like 20 years or whatever. Yeah, who knows? I think this is their year, though. They're looking. I am curious to see if they can repeat. Right, that's the big thing for UConn fans is they did it last year. Can they do it again? Boy, they seem like they could.
I would think they have pretty good odds.
Yeah, they do. So. But whatever. Clearly they're going in the winter section of my bracket.
So. Well, thanks so much, Chris. Really a pleasure to have you on and to join us and provide your perspective to what we're doing on a regular basis here.
That was a pleasure. Great talking to you guys.
Thanks much. Thanks for joining.
Be well.
Bye.
Take care.
We'd love to hear your feedback. Feel free to get in touch at Vancord on LinkedIn. And remember, stay vigilant, stay resilient. This has been CyberSound.